This sermon started about 6 months ago during the season of Lent. I know that's a long sermon, but don't worry, it won't be reflected in the length of the sermon today. I was part of a discussion group during the Lenten season with some people from sister churches here in our neighborhood, and we were reading the book Prophetic Lament by Soon Chan Ra. A significant theme of that book is recognizing the judgment of God that's brought to bear in history, judgment against unrighteousness and against injustice in particular. Judgment and anger and wrath and destruction, all words that you could use and that Soon Chan Ra does use. And in doing so, reflects the prophetic book of Lamentations, which provides the structure for that book, for a prophetic lament. Now, I'm not going to do a recapitulation of all the content of that book, except to tell you I recommend it to you to read it if you have not. Instead, I want to tell you about part of the discussion group one day that happened as we talked about the judgment of God. My impulse when I read about God's judgment is that I do have a difficult time with it. There's something in me that pushes up against that. And I think that's because, I know that's because, I have seen that concept, that force of judgment used by religion, by Christianity in particular, claiming my own tradition, used to threaten and control people in the name of God. And when I expressed that observation and concern, several folks agreed with my insight, and I was pretty pleased with that. Imagine that, me being pleased with myself about something. I know it's very unusual. And then someone said, well, I think God's judgment is good news. When you're oppressed, when you're powerless, when you see evil, you see the need for judgment. God's judgment sounds like hope to me. I was no longer so pleased with myself. I was grateful for that insight shared, and it's something that has been percolating in me ever since. And so that's what I'm asking of you today, to let that percolate in you too, to try on for yourself, for ourselves, what it means to look at God's judgment through the eyes of the oppressed, to see what that reveals to us, where it takes us, how it calls us. And I want to do that through the lens of the Passover story that we heard from Exodus today. Can't really call it a story in Scripture. It's one of the stories in Scripture. The Exodus from Egypt is seen as a defining moment that creates Israel as a people. The story of liberation from slavery, of freedom towards the promised land, the center of identity and faith for God's people. The way the story itself is told is as an event to be remembered and ritualized, retold through the generations. And that's carried forward beyond even the Hebrew generations into the Christian story, the Passover meal of Jesus with his disciples as the setting for the communion sacrament that we celebrate, a story of salvation carried on through the generations. What a story, the story, the Passover. In it we hear of individuals and nations, of drama and ritual, of freedom and judgment, of death and of life. And I wish I could make a systematic theology out of this story. That's what my brain, my mind wants to do. But as I percolated on that interplay of oppression and God's judgment, what my heart drew me to do instead was to turn to art and to poetry, to prayer and to ritual, and to let those speak. And here's something of what I mean by that. So I looked at a liturgical resource this week. I came across a powerful photo of a man whom I would call a modern-day slave. It was a photo of a black African man forced to work in brutal conditions without fair pay and with no way out. You can see the photo in the gathering area if you'd like. And when I saw that photo, it occurred to me that it looked much like what I would think of a black African enslaved in America looked like centuries ago. And it made me think that it was in such conditions of slavery that this song was born. When Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. People then and now, lives diminished and taken in oppression by the powers of this world. Well, is it not good news that the Spirit of God stands then and now with the oppressed, providing a power of hope and life that cannot be broken by oppression? And can we see the truth of judgment? That whenever there is the rule of oppression and violence, when that is the God of the nation, that such deadly power turns back on those who perpetuate it. Then I turned to the prayers of our Jewish sisters and brothers who have tended this Passover story so beautifully and powerfully through thousands of years. And what I found in Passover prayers was a sense of this story taking on its full meaning when it's not about one people being given liberty at the expense of another, but about standing in solidarity with all who are oppressed, about revealing the vision of God's freedom for all people. I found the words of a Passover prayer that talked about freedom never being complete for any when there are others still in slavery. We are still slaves because freedom means more than just our broken chains. Where there is poverty and hunger and homelessness, there is no freedom. Where there is prejudice and bigotry and discrimination, there is no freedom. Where there is violence and torture and war, there is no freedom. And where each of us is less than he or she might be, we are not free, not yet. Let us continue to work for the day when the nations will be one and at peace. Then we shall rejoice as Israel did, singing on the shores of the sea. And by that prayer, in that Jewish Passover prayer book, to my most grateful surprise, it had the words of that slavery spiritual. Thus saith the Lord, bold Moses said, let my people go. No more shall they in bondage toil. Let my people go. Connections resonating across time of oppression and judgment and freedom in this Passover story. I think what that comment in that discussion group, God's judgment is good news to me. When you're oppressed, when you don't have power, when you see evil, you see the need for judgment. God's judgment sounds like hope to me. What that comment sparked in me was the need to come at this story, to hear this story from a different location, or at least to try to. Because I could make of this story a metaphor of personal salvation, even as I wrestle theologically with God's judgment. But I'm drawn instead to hear the voices that tell of the violence of injustice and the toll that that takes. I'm drawn to hear the violence of inaction, which continues the suffering of those in oppression. I'm drawn to hear the need to challenge and bring down powers of injustice and oppression, and to see that there are consequences for those who build their well-being on the diminishment of others. I'm drawn to see that the Spirit of God is at work in history for the implosion of injustice, not to be replaced with a new structure of oppression, but with the creative power of freedom for all, the freedom to live in life-giving community and faith. Which brings us together to the ritual of communion. to hear and see Jesus embodying an ongoing Passover story of God's presence in solidarity with those to those without power or voice. To know Jesus as the presence of life which the world cannot take away, giving hope to those who are oppressed. Which means, too, that this ritual of communion, birthed and still caught up in the Passover story, opens up this question in me, too. Where am I in this story? And draws me to see not only the salvation and freedom present, but to see God's judgment, too, of what must be overturned in me. For me to confess the oppression that I am a part of and complicit in. For me to face up the costs of giving up power over and to hear that as good news. And for me then to use my power to speak the deadly consequences of injustice that is done at the expense of others. We are nourished this day in judgment and hope. To hear the voices of the oppressed that to direct us to where God's Spirit is at work in this world, in history, towards freedom. In the words of this Passover prayer, you alone are our God and Savior who delivers us from the oppressor's hands and saves us from tyrant's fists. You give us life and steady our footsteps. In a world torn by violence and pain, give us courage to bear witness to our God of justice and love, keeping alive a vision of a world redeemed for freedom. This is the Passover we still observe today. Thanks be to God. Amen.